everything in photography is all just a matter of perspective. And one thing that I do try to do is I constantly try to challenge myself to look at things differently. And in that, there's always a way to look at something that you may see on a daily basis, but present it.
This photography podcast is brought to you by Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. Here is your today's host, W. Scott Olsen, with another fascinating conversation.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast from Frames Magazine. My name is Scott Olsen, and today we are talking with Colin Harris. We are going, if I told you we're going to go to the world of the abstract here, the feeling would be right, but I would be wrong. We are getting into something that is a really special and unique perspective on photography. You've seen his work on our Facebook page. It is work that I think just speaks volumes about the potential of photography and a special and insightful point of view. Colin, how you doing today? Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. Very much appreciated. Thank you for your kind words this morning.
I am looking forward to this conversation because I have to admit it, man, I really, really dig your work. It is nothing like the work that I do. And I look at it, I don't even know how to do the work that you're doing, but it speaks to something deep in at least my spirit and my soul. So I'm coming at this from the point of view as a fan. I think you've got something special going on here.
Well, thank you. That means the world to me, Scott. Thank you very much.
I want to begin, though, with something that you said on your website. And everybody, if you just Google Colin Harris, you're going to discover there's more than one Colin Harris in the photography world. So make sure you include the middle name there. ColinCharlesHarris.wixsite.com is the website. And Colin, you say there, my photographs are very personal visualizations of my life quest to speak spirituality and enlightenment. Okay, talk to me about that. What do you mean by your photographs are visualizations of a quest?
Well, I suppose it goes all the way back to being a creative individual and from a very early age learning how to express myself artistically. And it wasn't really until I had a camera in my hands periodically through that time period. But it wasn't really until I bought my very first camera sometime in the 80s that I made an actual active decision to say sort of, okay, now that I've got my first camera, what am I going to do with this? What do I have to offer the photographic world as far as an evolution of my creative spirit or soul? And really, like all art, I think it's an exploration. It's something that you need to go through. It's an investigation. It's a process. You learn about yourself throughout the process. So I was a very technical person. I sort of looked at photographs from a very technical standpoint. And I loved Ansel Adams' work, but I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to be a landscape photographer because, you know, there's already Ansel Adams. I mean, he's the greatest landscape photographer. So how could I ever reach that level of status in my life? Plus it takes a lot of traveling and things like that. So I couldn't think that was what I wanted to do. And at the time I'm still heavily into music. And I looked at some record covers of a band called the Cocteau Twins. And I saw some beautiful photography that was photography from a point of view that was just beauty, just presenting you with something that was just beautiful. Whether or not you could identify with it didn't seem to be the point. It was just something beautiful to me. It was a beautiful photograph. I could see it was a photograph because I could sort of pick out certain things within it, and my technical brain was processing, oh yeah, I think I can do something like this.
So when you say technical, are you talking composition? Are you talking, you know, post-production? What about the technical aspect are you really talking about here?
Just the visual element of what I was looking at.
Okay.
Like I It was, you know, I could look at a, I could look at something, a photograph, and it set the wheels in motion in my brain. I was like, how did they do that? And because I was so steeped in technical knowledge at the time, even though I hadn't gone to school or anything for photography, I'd shot so much film and read so much books, looked through so many photographs. It was really, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something interesting that was, for me, an evolution of where I'd already come from artistically. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I picked up a camera, I'd already had a camera in my hands sporadically throughout that time, but it wasn't until I bought my first one and it was my own that I said, okay, what am I going to do with this? Because life is a journey itself about, you know, some people aren't on the spiritual path, but I definitely believe that I am. So my photography is an evolution of that. It's an evolution of my creative self. It's an evolution of my spiritual self. It's a mirror image of me, really.
So even 30 years ago, you were developing an aesthetic. You weren't experimenting with like sports or wedding or photojournalism.
No, I've been through all that. And that's why I worked at a photography studio for a while.
Oh, okay.
And I worked as an assistant to a wedding photographer. I worked in portrait studios. I actually did a few weddings on my own way back when, with my contacts and a single lens, mind you. I had done all that, you know. So for me, it was like, because I had to struggle to survive, and I knew that photography was my life, I found jobs that I felt would open me up to photographic experiences or photographic knowledge that I may not have gotten otherwise. Mm-hmm. One of the gentlemen that I worked for in a photography studio, he desperately encouraged me to go to school, but my situation in life wasn't really conducive to really going to school. And I had to survive. I couldn't go to school.
Right.
So I didn't.
But you say that you're not a landscape photographer, and I'm going to disagree with
you. I love landscape photography, yeah, though.
You are not a vista photographer. You're not looking at something a mile away with a 10 millimeter lens. You're saying, you know, look at the Northern Hemisphere. But you've got this thing going on right now. And everybody, there's a series going on in the Frames Facebook world, a series that you're calling Terrestrial. And you see, you know, inspired by aerial and satellite photography, but it's a lot closer than that. So, you mean, talk to me about Terrestrial. Tell me about the series. Tell me how it got started.
Well, Terrestrial, I guess it's the latest thing that I've done. To be honest with you, I'm not too thoroughly impressed with the series. There are a few striking images within the series that I really do enjoy. I gotta tell you, I was struggling with that series. Just dealing with digital cameras, they're not my forte. I used a camera for that series that I no longer have and have since acquired another Nikon digital that I feel is a little bit better, that has more image processing software within it that will enable me to get better images. I'm just not impressed with the series photographically, although when I sit back and view the series as a body of work, I still am very, very intrigued by what I've created, and I still love what I've created, except I'm such a perfectionist as far as a photographer is concerned that, to me, they didn't quite meet the bar, as it
okay,
were.
Okay, but describe any one of the images, because they're not really macro photography, you know, and they are close enough to whatever, I mean, they are representational, but so close you can't really tell what you're looking at.
Yeah,
abstract shapes, beautiful colors. Walk me through any one of them and what you were hoping for, and then also why you're not completely satisfied.
Well, what I was looking for, if you look at my body of work prior to the Terrestrial series, what mm-hmm. you'll see is a very shallow depth of field that I've worked in my favor so that whatever is out of focus becomes almost like a paintbrush splash. you know, it's so out of focus that you couldn't possibly tell what it is. You're just left up with what's left is just the color or slight form of what it used to be. You know, like I said, I've long since been inspired by photography, all sorts of photography. David Malin is one of my favorite photographers, and he got a name for himself for photographing the heavens. In mm-hmm. fact, if memory serves, he was the guy that developed the technique of stacking that they now use computers to do.
Yep.
You know, but he actually stacked negatives on top of negatives to get that rich depth out of deep space that you just couldn't get any other way.
I say these images are very reminiscent of astral photography.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because in a way, I think that ever since I went through this float tank session and had a sort of a mind-blowing experience, I guess is the only way to really describe it, I think that space has sort of found its way into my images ever since. And yeah, I love, you know, astrophotography. It's absolutely fantastic the way that gases in space almost create surreal paintings only from a matter of perspective. You know, if you were on the other side of the atmosphere, the universe, you know, it wouldn't look that way. It would look like something completely different. So everything in photography is all just a matter of perspective. And one thing that I do try to do is I constantly try to challenge myself to look at things differently. And in that, there's always a way to look at something that you may see on a daily basis, but present it in such a way that not only could no one ever decipher what it is that you photographed, but if you photograph it in such a way, you know, on my good days, my good photographs look like photographic surrealism. I think that in a nutshell, that's what I'm striving for. However, I don't want to be pigeonholed, as it were. So, you know, I experiment. I constantly experiment. One of my favorite books is a satellite book, satellite photography of the Earth. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with the most astonishingly beautiful photographs of our planet that you just cannot, it's your jaw just drops because of the astonishing beauty. And I don't even know that these photographs were created from an artistic point of view. They were probably nothing more than science photographs, you know, like Carl Blachfeld or something like that. They were science photographs, but in creating them, they created just a beautiful art form that I loved so much that I said, that's kind of what I want to do. That's really what I want to do. I want to create sort of paintings with my camera. I want to do things with my camera that to really just challenge me to get something amazing on film or on the sensor. It's always an exploration. It's always a challenge to move forward and to create something new. With terrestrial, my perspective had really changed. It was the first time that I'd ever actually gotten out the spirit levels, not only on my tripod, but on the object at hand. You know, I was really trying to come at it from a very perpendicular perspective, you know, which is kind of in a way how I saw aerial and satellite photography.
Well, you are absolutely dead on with this thing that perspective, you know, equals insight, that perspective is everything, and closeness and the richness of detail or, you know, lack of focus, whatever you want to call it. I can see how that work evolves out of, again, what you've got on your website. You've got three wonderful series there, Warm Abstractions, Transcendence, and Fragments of the Natural World, which everybody, you got to go look at them. Talk to me about these three themes that you've going on here. Did you develop them simultaneously? Are they evolutionary? They're beautiful. I don't even know how to describe them because, I mean, abstract is at one level, that's sort of the impression you get. Then you look at it and you realize, no, that this is not just abstract stuff. This is photography. So talk to me about these series.
Well, I think that goes back to the evolution of creating the artwork in itself as well, because most of those, actually all of those, are film photographs. And when I'm exploring or just seeing where I can go, a lot of times I might go back to a similar theme when I'm working on something, completely contrary. That happens a fair amount. You know, I might get bored of something that I'm working on. So I'll, you know, go through my boxes and look for things that I can, bring out that I may not have looked at before. And believe me, there's much of that. They were sort of created over a period of time. They were absolutely created over a period of time, but I wasn't necessarily dedicated to each of those series at any one given time. It was sort of an evolution of the process where after I was done and I was able to go through and finally look at all the images that I'd created that were a variation on a theme, and I loved to group them together. See, a lot's changed in the past years where I can't take my photographs anymore. I used to take my 4x6 photographs. You know, I used to always print up photographs, and I used to take them and sort of scatter them on the floor and combine them together and see if I could make an evolution of an idea by juxtaposing certain images with the idea that they were going to make diptychs or triptychs. Mm-hmm. So I did that an awful lot. I would rotate images. I'd spin them around. I'd figure out which way, you know, they sort of created an evolutionary flow within the diptych or the triptych. That's one thing I love doing the most is diptychs and triptychs. But now that I don't have that hands-on so much with photography, now that we're in this digital age, and I'm not the most computer savvy person, so I'm sure that someone could just easily look at all the photos on their screen and position them in any way they could. But even something so simple is challenging for me because I really just don't have very much computer knowledge at all.
But you and me both.
You know, but in a way, that's also helped me to stay true to my photography because, you know, I have taught myself how to clean up my negatives and positives. So, but that's as far as I go. I don't want to manipulate anything that I create photographically. It's really important for me to capture what I see, even if what I see doesn't exactly match what I see because of the darkness, even if I open up the aperture. Things look different. Things look different when you shoot them. So it takes a lot of experience. You know, you have to shoot a lot of film. I remember one of the first things that one of the lab technicians said to me, I think I posted this online too, and it sticks with me to this day. I shot so many rolls of film and I only shot slide film because to me it was what you saw, what you got. And there was only one, well, there was a couple of labs in town where I used to live. The lab technician would hand me my roll of film and one day, you know, years and years and years ago, I was still just experimenting. I hadn't even figured out where I was going to go with this stuff yet. But because he was looking at my roll of film and he could see sort of like a progression and see the work as an entire roll of film, he told me, he said, you know, you're slowly convincing me that what you're doing here could be considered an art form. And that just, it really stuck with me. It always has. Because I really didn't feel that I was anywhere close to even being where I wanted to go with it yet. I was still in the process of just, well, let's see.
Let's take just a quick break. We hope very much that you are enjoying today's episode. The very fact that you are listening to this podcast suggests that photography means a lot to you. And if that's the case, you might want to have a look at Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. We truly believe that excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit readframes.com to find out more about our publication. And now, back to today's conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that just means your sense of discovery he was sensing. So, I mean, his sense of discovery was just following you along. You mentioned something really interesting there because it opens up an area you haven't talked about yet. You said, you know, you would put the images out on your floor or whatever, and you would discover meaning from the images that were already there, which is magnificent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we all do some version of that as we're working with our files. But tell me about going out the door, iPhone or camera in hand. What are you looking for? How do you know, you know, that what you're pointing at least in the running of being useful?
As far as my abstractions are concerned, or just going out with my camera and looking at life?
You know, world, I'm going to go out shooting today. Yeah.
I used to actually go out. I used to go out to an island. Well, I suppose it's not very close to my home now, about, 15, 16 miles away. But I used to actually, years and years and years ago, I used to go down there with my camera and actually shoot live. They had a beautiful flower garden. And they had a beautiful terrarium. I think that's what they call it. Is it a terrarium? No, it was a conservatory.
Okay.
So you could go in there and you could see the beautiful flowers, the banana trees and all the stuff, the pines and the cacti and everything. And I used to love going down there. I would just pick up fallen flowers, because it was just a normal process of their life cycle to drop their flowers when the flower was dead or whatever, or the bee had gotten whatever it needed from it. So I would pick up flowers and I would go back to my car and I would play around with these things and just see what I could do. Because sometimes, out there in the, in the bright sun, I don't know, you can just do things that you can't do in a studio. Most of the work that I do is kind of in a studio setup, even though I use natural sun. I've got to position myself in such a way that I'm not getting baked in the sun because I get cooked. So, but still I have to let these items get these objects get lit. The hardest part is to find a perspective on the object without blocking the sun.
Well, I'm looking at your Instagram feed here, and everybody is instagram.com/ColinCharlesHarris. And you've got an awful lot of the terrestrial stuff. I can see the fallen flowers and stuff. But, I have this image of you basically crawling around on your hands and knees someplace, looking that closely at everything to even recognize the potential subject. Is this just a way of seeing that you've been cultivating, or is there an environment that you say, okay, this seashore or this flower bed is going to be rich?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned seashores. I absolutely love those, but I don't have access to one readily available. So I just have to suffice with my little sort of makeshift studio here, as it were, which is basically my balcony. I go out on my balcony and I either have an idea in mind about what I'm going to create. And I've got ideas in my mind about where I want to go with future series as well. But I'm having a hard time sitting down and just, sort of hashing it out in a way. It's difficult when a lot of times you don't know exactly what you're going to get, but yet you have an idea of what to expect. Mm-hmm. It really is an exploration. It really is. But also a lot of it is trying to capture something that you've also visualized in your own mind's eye. So it becomes really challenging to create something that you sort of see in your own mind's eye, but it's something completely natural that either lives or breathes or grows on this earth.
I'm looking at the Instagram page here and some really, really tremendously special work there. And everybody, if you scroll down, you will see the triptychs and that kind of stuff. You'll see some black and white, 99% of its color. But I'm really wondering, in the best possible sense, wondering about the kind of emotional response, maybe even spiritual response that we have to work that presents itself. Again, abstract is the right feeling, but it's the wrong word. These are natural objects, but they're coming at it, in terms of color and shape and form instead of, this is a fill in the blank. What is it, your best audience? What are you hoping they're feeling or they're seeing in your images?
Well, I really hope that they're stimulated. I really hope, that they're thinking. There's a lot of different types of people out there, and the kind of people that may or may not gravitate to my work, they either know that it's a photograph, so they instantly want to know what it is of.
Right.
or they're just lost in it, just as they would be viewing an abstract painting, say. I don't know. There's different sides of the coin here. I prefer when people use their imaginations and try to find something within it rather than trying to be analytical as to what did he do here. But I feel that if they're asking me maybe what did I do here, maybe I haven't done good enough.
Yeah, but you're the guy who said you were big into the technical aspects at the beginning. Has that become just the foundation, and now, you know, it's like jazz improv, you've got the basics, let's go explore?
No. It's still a constant exploration. I think okay. that, you know, people who say that they know it all about photography are just conceited. There's no way you ever could, in my opinion. I don't even know that you could even if you went to school.
Okay. What I love about these images, you know, I look at them and I say, I don't know what that is. But when I say that, I'm not really asking a question about the subject of your image. I'm asking about the emotion I'm feeling. You know, I look at something and I've got a response. I'm going, gee, you know, what is that in me that's coming up looking at this image? Which is, you know, a nice, you know, kind of conversation between the image and the audience, I think, in the best of this kind of work, which I would count yours among.
Well, I thank you.
On another side, though, you've got, you know, on your Etsy page, you've got something completely different. You have a whole series of images of statuary. You know, it's an Angels Among Us series. Well, okay. It put these two together, I would not have claimed they were from the same artist. Tell me what you're doing with this series and tell me how this comes out of the same brain as the rest of it.
Okay, well, I would say that as far as my abstract work is concerned, it's uh-huh. the evolution of where I was artistically. You know, I felt like I couldn't paint that good, so I had to do something different and sort of evolved into photography as my form of painting. I also aspire, you know, and I say aspire because I don't necessarily consider myself a very good photographer. I'm trying, but I do aspire to look at photography and treat photography as the classic art that it is. And that's why I do things, you know, I can't get down there anymore, but I spent some time at the Detroit train station. That was a lot of fun, urban decay type photographs. But the angels specifically, you know, it's interesting because I never even knew that other people really took pictures of angels in the cemetery and things like that. Call me ignorant, you know, or naive or whatever, but I really didn't know. So for me, I was like, you know, it would be really cool if I could get some really highly stylized images of some of these stone angel faces. But you know what? I'm going for something very specific here. I think it'd be really cool if I only use 3200 speed film and I only use my 300 millimeter lens in such a way that I could crop in on the faces and have the grain work with the stone, but create a striking image of a face that makes you want to gravitate to it just because it's a beautiful image of a face. Which was actually challenging to do. I found myself, I could only use it at f32, had to close the aperture down all the way because your depth of field with a 300 millimeter lens is next to nil. It's probably it's probably not even 3 inches deep. I'm not even sure. I don't have a mass scale in front of me. So it became really challenging for me to ensure that the tip of the nose of the sculpture to the earlobe was razor sharp. And that's what I was going for. I absolutely had to make sure that the tip of the nose to the earlobe was razor sharp because I wanted to make sure that the eyes were crisp and the mouth was sharp and the nose was sharp. I didn't want the tip of the nose to be out of focus. But because I feel that photography is sort of an evolution, it's just something that I do because I'm striving to be a decent photographer, I guess, you know. Right. So I do other things that strike my fancy in the hopes that, you know, because I'd like to make a living at photography somehow. But because I never actually went to school, you know, I never really learned how to be a photographer, you know. So I really am what I have been my whole life is just an artist, but I happen to use a camera as my tool.
I have to ask you about planning here, though, because if I were in a cemetery and I saw a cool statue, like everybody else, I'd stand 3.5 feet away with a 35mm lens, and take a picture. I would not think, wait a minute, I'm going to use this speed film and I'm going to back way the hell up so that the grain is going to work with me. Are you that much into sort of imaginative planning, or is this something that was trial and error? And you said, oh, I like this.
No, I knew exactly what look I was going for the angels, because I really wanted to bring out the stone. In fact, it was a series that I was working on years ago. A friend of mine was going to teach me how to silk screen. And the idea behind it was I shouldn't say it's my favorite saying in life, but it's the saying that most applies, is life is what happens while you're busy making other plans.
Yeah.
So anyway, one of my planned exhibitions was going to be silk screens of all the cemetery angels that I felt were pretty enough. They were going to be silkscreen on cotton, on like cotton muslin. And I was going to stretcher them. So they were going to be photography from a different perspective. Something that I'd never done before was made transparencies, to make t-shirts or silkscreens or anything like that. So it was something that I wanted to do. I felt that it was perfect for the graininess and the stone and what I hoped were striking images of faces. I thought that it would have lent itself really well to that form, sort of like an off-white cotton muslin framed angel. That was what I was going for. But yeah, life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. So all I have are the angels that I photographed. And I thought, well, you know, I did make a lot of little postcards of them. I cut a lot of matting, because when I do exhibit here, I cut and mat all my own. I hang all my own. Right. I mount and mat all my own work. You know, one day I just had some extra mat board left over and I was like, you know, I'm going to mat all these up and see if I could sell these things. And as you can see from my Etsy page, I haven't made one sale since I've had my store open, but I am optimistic.
Okay. I did not look for that, but everybody go there straight away. This is fantastic work. I'm absolutely mesmerized. Listen to this, because what I'm hearing is a connection between the textures of the t-shirts, the textures of the angels' faces, and then most of your other series really are photographs of different textures, whether it's color tones or physical texture. And going back to this notion of being an artist and searching for a kind of spirituality through a consideration of surfaces and textures and stuff. What tremendously creative, interesting work. Colin, what are you working on now? What's the project for this afternoon, tomorrow, and next week?
Well, to be honest with you, I was thinking that I'm about halfway through the terrestrial series, and oh shit, I'd better come up with something soon.
You still got half to go.
Yeah. There's been a series that's been on my mind for some time now. It's kind of gruesome. I don't know if I even really want to talk about what it is. It's nothing like I'm not going to be photographing anything dead or anything like that.
Right.
Don't get the wrong idea, but it's just sort of, I've never really wanted to tie in politics or political beliefs with one's art. Many have, it's a great success, success, good for them. But I'm not one of those. But anyway, one of the series that has been sort of, in the back of my mind for a long, long time now is one that I desperately want to work on. But because it's a creation process, the stars have to be in aligned for it to happen. It's just sort of one of those things where I know what I want to do. I don't know exactly what they're going to look like, but I know what I'm going for. And it really is going to be a little bit of an experiment with some film. I'm going to go with print film this time, just because it's a little bit cheaper for me to process and I can process it locally. But yeah, I really feel the need to get this image, to get these these images that have been in the back of my mind created, but I just don't know if the stars are aligned yet. I just don't know if the time is right yet for that, you know, because it's one of those things where I don't think people are going to really like it. They might like the art, but they won't like the meaning behind it. So I got to tread lightly there.
No, nobody listening to this is curious now. Just so you know, we're all sitting here going, oh, okay, check in with this guy here in a year and see what this is all about. You know, whatever this project is, I wish you the best of luck with it. And
well,
once again, I really, really enjoy the work you're doing. This has been lovely. Thank you very much.
Scott, thank you so much for having me. And Tomas, thank you so much for the invite. Very much appreciated. Frames is absolutely, Frames is fantastic. I love the magazine. Thank you, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Frames. Because excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit us at www.readframes.com.